Coming up in the Triton Spotlight on episode 101 of Triton Cast, we'll be joined by recent grad Anya Snisarenko from women's tennis. Anya earned her degree in human biology in just 3 years while competing on the tennis team. We'll chat about what drives her in pursuing her goal of becoming a surgeon. And she tells us what she's learned while serving on a medical mission last summer in Uganda. Plus, we'll get the inside scoop on her funniest teammate and who she thinks is the best cook. You won't want to miss the triumphant return of our quick pick segment, where you'll hear about Anya's controversial take on pizza. You're in for a treat when we catch up with Anya Snisarenko in this week's Triton Spotlight. Welcome to episode 101 of Triton Cast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. Whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or ucsdtritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. Triton alum Nikki Palmer is headed home. The 2008 grad has been named UC San Diego's new softball head coach. Welcome back, Nikki. Another Triton alum will be busy this summer. Men's water polo coach Matt Ustaszewski will be coaching on Team USA at the Summer Olympics next month in Paris. The men's and women's swim teams were both recognized by the CSCAA for their work in the classroom and in the water. And the 2024 men's soccer and men's water polo schedules have both been announced. You can check those out on ucsdtritons.com. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Our conversation this week is with Anya Snisarenko from women's tennis. We talk everything from hip surgery to the nearly 36 countries she's visited, as well as her distaste for bananas. Enjoy. Anya, you recently participated in commencement exercises, the long way of saying you just graduated. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so you did that in 3 years. Was that your plan going in, or did that develop while you were at UC San Diego?
So yes, going in, I did have a lot of credits that transferred from the community college that I attended. So I looked at the plan and the counselors told me, like, if you want to stay a fourth year, then you should minor or double major. But other than that, like, it looks like you'll be graduating in 3 years. And knowing with my plan for the future, going into medical school and then becoming a doctor, there's going to be so much more schooling to do. So I was like, well, if I can save a year here, then if I can do it, then I'll do it. And so, yeah, I kind of did have that plan ahead of time, but I mean, it worked out in the end. So, yeah.
Regardless, that's super impressive. And you majored in human biology. What steered you towards that major?
Yeah. So like I said, I've always wanted to become a doctor, and human biology was one of the best majors for that field. I did come in doing neurobio, but I realized that is super concentrated and I wanted to expand and broaden my options. And so human bio touches a little bit of everything about the body. And so I really thought that would be a cool major. And I mean, I loved it, every second of it.
The two majors certainly are related and have some overlap, but procedurally, is that complicated to switch majors midstream like that, or how did that happen?
For me, it wasn't too tough switching because they're both in the same department, and I switched during my first year of college. So I was still doing lower divs, but I was researching all the upper div classes for neurobio, and I realized it's so heavily concentrated on the human brain, and I wanted to learn more about the body, you know?
It's a very complicated thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So how did you end up at UC San Diego? What brought you to La Jolla?
It was the tennis. I was recruited by Coach Liz to play tennis for the UCSD tennis team. Also the beach. I was debating between a couple different schools that I was being recruited by, but the beach, UCSD is literally a mile away from the ocean, and I love the ocean. So I was like, okay, location, I'll do that. And then also the amazing department, biology department and majors. So I was like, okay, this is a prestigious school, which will help me in my future. And then, of course, like I said, the tennis. I knew a couple people going in to UCSD on the tennis team, and they were amazing. They are amazing people. So I was like, wow, everything is just falling into place here at UCSD.
So tennis and beach in some order. What was the adjustment like? I mean, UC San Diego is a pretty big campus. What was the adjustment like for you settling in as a freshman, which happened to be during the pandemic?
Oh, so that was a little tough, I would say, because I went to a very small high school. My graduating class was 98 people, I believe. So it's relatively small compared to other schools. And coming to UCSD, like, there's so many people and it's a huge campus, so many different colleges too. So I was really nervous about that. But I would say the tennis team was a major factor in making me feel at home, because the seniors, actually everyone on the team, took great care of me. And then my fellow freshmen, like Naomi, Kate, and Adriana, we bonded very well the first quarter or so. And ever since, we've become best friends.
Yeah, I got to imagine, as a scholar athlete, that does help, having that built-in support system. Definitely. With your teammates. But still, right, the team has an established culture. Mm-hmm. How do you, or the group of you, the four of you in this case, how do you integrate yourselves and become part of that?
I think it really helped that there were three other freshmen coming in with me, so we bonded. And then Kate and Naomi are really outgoing, so that's how we integrated into the team. So thanks to Naomi and Kate for helping, because I don't really come out of my shell that much. But yeah, we all bonded together and it was an amazing experience.
And how did you settle in? How did you get comfortable? Did that take you a while?
I would say it did take a little bit, but like I said, again, I knew that the three other freshmen were in the same boat as me. So that gave me the confidence to, I mean, talk to them, get to know them, and bond with them.
And then how did you settle in, or how did you become accustomed to the balance that every scholar athlete has to face, which is, you know, demands of your team activities combined with the strenuous academic pursuits?
It took some time for sure. But I mean, thankfully in high school, I had worked on my time management, balancing classes and my tennis. So that helped me in college for sure to succeed. But like I said, I was not used to doing weights early in the morning, and I am not an early morning person. So yeah, that was definitely an adjustment. And I was always cranky in the morning. I don't know one noticed on the team, but yeah, I would say it was an adjustment, but I had friends supporting me and that made it amazing.
Weights in the morning for a non-morning person does not sound very fun.
No, it's not.
Did you eventually get used to that?
No, I never did. Thankfully, the wait times became later and later, so it got better. But yeah, I dreaded those mornings doing weights in the morning, because I don't like to be all dirty and then the rest of the day just walking around still sweaty. So thankfully, the first year I lived on campus so I could shower, but after that I was commuting, so I'd have to rely on the showers on campus or just a change of clothes and a lot of deodorant.
It's a process for sure. Mm-hmm. We're chatting with Anya Snisarenko this week on Triton Cast. Your first match as a Triton at LMU as a freshman, do you remember that day?
Yes, I do.
What stands out to you?
I would say it was just the team aspect, because when we were playing the match, we were cheering each other on, which is very different from what I was used to in juniors when you were just focused on your own match. And so I loved every second of it, and I was making sure to cheer on my fellow teammates too. So that was really fun.
Yeah, how is that team aspect different, right? Because you can feed off of that energy and that can help propel you forward. Whereas, as you were saying, maybe in juniors that's not the case and you've got to find that from within.
Yeah, I would say that definitely the encouragement from your teammates helps you in the long run, because if they give you energy, you can build off of that and that could go into your game and you can continue to excel.
Anya, how old were you when you started playing tennis?
I started when I was 5 years old, but I was just dilly-dallying for a little bit. I didn't actually like commit to tennis until I was 8 years old. So I would say 12 years competitively and like actually trying, but then I guess 15 years just like holding a racket in my hand.
So what happened between 5 and 8 where you got serious?
I actually don't know. I think I had some talent when it comes to tennis, and the coach is like, wait, you should actually like try competitive tennis. But during that time, my parents were both working, and it was a bit tough for them to bring me to clinics and all. And my dad was also wrapping up his residency. And so, yeah, I wasn't able to do as much tennis as I would have wanted to. But then once we moved out to Palmdale, and my dad got a job and like finished his residency, I was able to commit to tennis way more and play more tournaments and do clinics and yeah, play competitively.
And were you participating in other sports at that time?
I did ballet, I did gymnastics, but that was just for fun. It was because like we're European, Russian, Ukrainian, and so those are like the sports you kind of have to start off doing. But I am not flexible, and they could tell I was going to be a tall individual, so they were like, yeah, these sports are not for you. And I was like, okay, cool.
Oh, that could have been crushing, but it sounded like you handled it well, or maybe you knew that they were right.
Oh, don't worry. They told my parents, not me. My parents just said, oh, maybe you should like stick to tennis. Because at one point, I was doing all three just to stay occupied.
Got
Yeah,
it,
my
got
parents
it.
told me later on.
So you weren't crushed. You were okay with that.
No, not at that moment. Years later.
Wow, so it's worse now than in that moment.
Yeah, for sure. I still hold a grudge.
I love that. And going back to tennis, the program under Liz LaPlante, as you mentioned, for so many years, she was the head coach for 44 seasons. And new coach Sebastian Bader, who was an assistant under Liz for the last couple of years. What's the transition, or what was that transition like from Liz to Sebastian?
I would say it was really helpful having Sebastian as our assistant coach. So he got to know us as players and as people. So once he became head coach, it wasn't that much different because he was already running practice before and then continuing to do what he was doing. So I thought it was a pretty smooth transition. Maybe he got a little bit stricter, I would say, but I think that helped the team in the long run.
So Anya, as a sophomore going backwards now, you hopped on the executive board with the Triton Athletes Council. What was your position and why did you get involved at that level of TAC?
So my sophomore year, I was student development chair on TAC eBoard, and my job was to set up stress relief activities, find study rooms for scholar athletes and reserve them, especially during the midterms and final seasons. And the reason why I wanted to join TAC is because I wanted to find more scholar athletes, get to know them, and help build a community of scholar athletes at UCSD Athletics.
Finding study rooms for midterms and finals, how do you do that? The campus is so vast.
Well, we relied on Geisel study rooms and also the Triton conference room in RE/MAX. So, yeah, had to reach out pretty early in advance to find those rooms and reserve them. But we got it done. So, thanks to Andrew Stringer for helping me out too.
Yeah, definitely. It takes more than one person to make that come about. And
Yes,
athletically,
exactly.
as a sophomore, you were injured. What happened?
So in October of my sophomore year, I was playing a practice match and I went for an out wide backhand and I felt a sharp pain in my left hip. I think it was over time some hip damage, and then that was like the final straw. But yeah, so after that, I got an MRI and they saw that I had hip dysplasia and a torn hip labrum, left hip labrum. So I was trying to do PT at first and work with Megan on exercises to build the surrounding muscles of my hip, but the pain continued. And so I decided to get surgery done during the summer after my sophomore year.
How tough was that? Well, first of all, I'm sure that hurt like crazy, but how tough was that to begin to go through that process on the sidelines while your teammates were getting ready to and then competing?
It was definitely tough physically and emotionally. Physically, because I couldn't run anymore, so that was tough. And Actually, it would hurt to walk too. So that was not fun, but also emotionally because I really missed the sport. I realized that I loved tennis so much. Sometimes, like I have a love-hate relationship with tennis, and I was like, ugh, dreading some days of practice. But as soon as it was taken away from me, I realized how much I love tennis and how much I missed being on the court, crushing those tennis balls, and just being with my teammates. So that was definitely tough, but also thanks to my teammates because they still would reach out to me and hang out with me, even though I was not physically at practice. So, yeah, they helped me through this injury for sure.
And you mentioned having to get surgery, but also you had a busy summer last year when you went on a medical mission to Uganda. And you told us earlier in this interview that you always knew you wanted to become a surgeon. So what spurred on this mission and how were you able to make that happen?
Yeah, so June after my sophomore year, like you said, I went to Uganda for a medical missions trip, and we spent 2 weeks in the region of Ishaka. And while we were there, we set up a free clinic for about a week or so, and we saw like 8,800 patients, which was way more than we expected. We were expecting to see like 1,000 patients a day. So we were set up for 5 days, but instead, like people kept coming and we just kept seeing patients and prescribing them medications. And one thing I really liked about the organization that I went with, SIMS, Students for International Mission Service, they also communicated with the local pharmacies so that even after we had left, those patients would get the prescriptions and the refills that they needed to help with their infections. And so the reason why I wanted to do this, like I said, I wanted to become a doctor and I wanted to experience what it is to be a, like a to have a firsthand experience of what a day in the life of a doctor is. And I love helping people and seeing them find their joy again. So I reached out and they said that technically, like, I could do it. And there I was. I was on the trip and I was super thankful to be there and experience that with them.
And you and I have had this conversation previously about your experience last summer. And I remember you telling me that in Ishaka, you literally had to set up camp working, starting in a field and building tents and workstations and so on. Had you had any kind of experience doing anything like that before?
No, I hadn't. So that was pretty new experience, and definitely we had our obstacles. There was a thunderstorm, so our tents kept collapsing, and then some people were stealing some medications, and so that was not great. But overall, like as a team, we work collectively to overcome these obstacles. And I, through that experience, I saw what working as a doctor will look like in the future. Just working with your fellow doctors, working as a team to provide the best care you can for your patients.
Can you describe to us what that feeling was like for you being able to prescribe necessary meds to these patients and seeing them get the care they needed to be healthy and thrive?
Yeah, I would say it was very fulfilling, especially to see the smiles on their faces, knowing that they're gonna feel better soon. Like, that's what I live for, just to see other people happy, because that brings me joy too.
Did you have any free time in Uganda while you were there? I know you sound like you were pretty busy.
We were pretty busy, but we did have like our evenings off a little bit after we were done with our shifts. So we would go into the local village and like try their food and even try on some of their dresses. And so I brought back like a skirt that was handmade. It's really beautiful. It has this beautiful flower print on it. So I was like, ah, I'll take something back home from Uganda. But yeah, they love bananas. Like, that is their food. And so I was eating a lot of bananas. I'm not a fan of bananas, but what can I do? So yeah, I was eating that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, some beans and vegetables and stuff too, but it was majority banana. So after I came from that trip, I never wanted to eat a banana again.
Thought you were going to say you turned the corner and now you're a huge fan.
Oh, no, 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 no. I had way too much. No, thank you. That's why sometimes in the snack room, like, my teammates would offer me a banana and I'd be like, I'm okay. Thank you very much. I've had my fill.
Anya, when you and I chatted previously, you were telling me how much of a sense of appreciation you have for the privilege of growing up and living here in the United States and the access to medical care that we have here that we may take for granted. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that trip definitely put things into perspective for me, and it showed me how blessed I am to be here in the U.S. and to have medical care here in the U.S. because in Uganda, they don't have as much as we do, but yet they were still able to provide the best care that they could. And it was just amazing to see how they adapted and they were resilient. And we didn't have that much running water. And so it was tough definitely washing my hair because I have pretty long hair. But I mean, we made it work. And their surgery rooms, their operating rooms, they didn't have the best supplies, but they still were able to help their patients, which was amazing to see. And so from that experience, I saw that as a doctor in the future, I will need to adapt and use what I have at my disposal.
You do have really long hair, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. I was thinking of cutting it for the summer, but at the same time, I could never part with my hair. So maybe I'll just do a trim again.
Well, you'll have to keep us posted on that. So Anya, when you came back from the mission, that's when you then had the hip surgery that you were telling us about earlier. But while you were on the mission, did that spark anything for you in terms of where you wanted to go professionally post medical school in terms of what you wanted to do to help others?
Yes. So like I said, I want to become a doctor, but which one, I still am not sure. But through this medical mission trip, I saw that I really enjoy working with people. And so I would definitely want to be working in the clinic. But which specialty, I don't know. I mean, I've shadowed orthopedics, I've shadowed otolaryngologists, I've shadowed radiation oncologists. So I've definitely seen a variety of specialties. Oh, pediatrics too. But which one, I don't know. But I would say through this surgery, I saw what it is to be a sports medicine doctor. And tennis has always been a big part of my life. And I maybe we'll be pursuing that specialty, honestly, just because of how big of an impact that doctor had on my life.
Yeah, I can certainly see that being the case. So in July of last year, so coming up on a year ago now, is when you had that hip surgery. What was the rehab like for you?
So the first couple of weeks I was just sitting on the couch, but that was okay because I was studying for the MCAT. So it's not like I was going anywhere, and we had just gotten a kitten. So she was keeping me company. But after that, like slowly but surely just moving my hip in different angles and increasing the angle of my hip. And then after that, just walking, starting to squat. And then once I was back at UCSD, we started doing the Alter G running. And after that, I was finally back on the court and running sprints. It was definitely a long process, but slowly but surely, I was gaining strength and confidence. And yeah, I was back there where I used to be. Well, almost where I used to be.
When you first picked up a tennis racket, were you nervous, anxious, excited?
I was definitely excited because I was like, oh, I've missed this so much. But at the same time, I was like, oh, no, I'm going to look so bad right now. Like I knew I was going to be rusty. But I will tell you this, the muscle memory kicked in and I was still making contact with the ball and it was not going over the fence. So I call that a win.
No question about it. Was there any fear in the back of your mind that maybe you could re-injure your hip while you were playing, since that's where it initially happened?
That fear is always there, no matter what activity I do, just because it's not as strong as it used to be. And once you've torn it once, you can, it's highly likely that you're gonna tear it again. So I was scared sometimes to run for out wide tennis balls, but I mean, we made it work. Sometimes I would just, let those balls go away because I was not about to risk injuring my hip again. But sometimes when you're in the moment and playing tennis, you don't think about anything else. And that's what I miss the most, just like focusing on the ball that's right in front of you. So, yeah.
And for you, while you were going through that rehab, what was the motivating factor to push you through from a tennis perspective?
Definitely getting back on the court. I missed the sport so much. I missed practicing with my teammates, competing. So that was definitely what was driving me to get through all those exercises because I hated those exercises. But I mean, also the support that I had from Megan in the training room and Taylor too, like they were all amazing and they helped push me towards success.
And you were finally this spring able to get back out on the court for some matches. How exciting was that?
That was so fun. I miss being back on the court and experiencing the college tennis atmosphere and energy again. So that was definitely amazing. I had so much fun.
Yeah, that was clear. I remember seeing you in a match at CSUN in April and just the joy on your face. That was fun to see.
Yes.
So, Anya, you mentioned in the bio that's on the website that you've been to over 30 countries. Is that right?
Yes, I have.
You don't have to actually do it, but could you name them?
Oh, I have a map
Got it.
in my room. So I'll just like take a look at them right now. I've been to Ukraine. That's where my parents are from. I've been to Spain. I've been to France, Italy, Sweden. I've been to Turkey. I've been to Cyprus. I've been to, well, Uganda. I've been to Maldives. I've been to Bora Bora. I've been to Dominican Republic. I've been to Jamaica. So yeah, most of the countries I've been to have either been in Europe or like the Caribbean, because we love the beach as a family. So most of our vacations are by the beach, by the ocean.
Do you have a favorite one or two that you've seen in terms of spectacular places?
I would say Maldives was definitely a highlight. That was for my parents' 20th anniversary. So, yeah, my parents were originally going to go by themselves, but I was able to work my magic and persuade my parents to bring my brother and I. So, that was definitely amazing. I really liked Dubai, United Arab Emirates. That was definitely an amazing experience just to see how big the city and the country is and just so many different things and the beautiful architecture. I've been to Germany too, and I really loved how clean and orderly Germany is. So I definitely want to go back again, and it's beautiful countryside. And oh, another place, I've been to Monaco. So that's a beautiful country too. It's pretty small, but it's very clean. And orderly, and I love that too. And it's by the ocean, so that's beautiful. I mean, I guess you can tell I love orderly places. I'm a clean freak.
Orderly places, and if they're by the beach, even better.
Yes, exactly. Perfect combo.
So, Anya, you've told us that you're going to go to medical school and eventually become a doctor. What's the timeline, and are you looking to stay in Southern California? What's your plan?
So my plan is to study for the MCAT. I took it last September, didn't get the score that I wanted, so I'll be studying again for that, and I'll take it again in September, hoping to get a better score. But now I know what to work on, so I'm confident that the score will definitely increase. And then after that, I will start applying next summer, so next cycle. So for now, the plan is to take the MCAT and then that gap year that I have to find some work either here where I'm at home or in San Diego. I'd prefer San Diego though, because like I said, I love the beach and I love my friends, so I want to go back, but we'll see where it takes me.
Understood. Well, we are excited to see what's next for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're chatting with Anya Snisarenko this week on TritonCast. Are you ready for some quick picks?
Yes.
Well, I'll start with an easy one because you sort of answered this already, but sunrise or sunset?
I would say sunsets. They're beautiful. And like I said, I am not an early morning person, so I would not be able to make it or wake it up in time for the sunrise.
You kind of answered this one too, but I'm obligated to ask. Beach or mountains?
Beach for sure. 100%. I love the ocean. If I'm there, you're going to see me in the water.
I promise these will get more difficult. Ocean or pool?
Ocean.
Okay.
Give me some harder ones. Come on.
We're almost done with the obvious ones. Indoors or outdoors?
I would say outdoors. Yeah. Like I said, I love being outside by the ocean, just breathing the fresh air.
All right, here we go. This is challenging. Shopping in store or online?
Oh, online. I hate shopping in store because I feel like I'm wasting so much time if I don't buy anything there and then, you know?
Will you go in store to look at something or try it on and then go home and buy it online?
No. Okay. I just would like to scroll online and like if I like it, then I'll buy it. And if it doesn't fit, then I guess I'll return it. Thankfully, you can return stuff so easily these days.
You told us you've been to over 30 countries. What's one place you've never been that you most want to visit?
I want to go to Australia because of all the cool animals that are out there. So, yeah.
Have you been to the San Diego Zoo Safari Park up in North County here?
Yes, I have, but when I was little. So do I remember anything? Not really.
Because they do have that Walkabout Australia where you're in the exhibit with the wallabies and kangaroos. That's pretty cool. I recommend it.
I'll definitely check that out.
Favorite type of music?
Ooh, that's a tough one, but I would say EDM. I just love the beat and I love singing along to like Illenium, Griffin, yeah, all of those artists.
Singing or dancing?
Oh, that's actually tough because I won't sing in front of people because I do not have a great voice, but I'll sing in my car, like full blast. Music is blasting. I'll be literally yelling. But at the same time, I love dancing. So, I guess in front of people, I'd say dancing, but if I'm alone, then singing.
Fair enough. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, I love ice cream. Like that is my go-to snack. I would say I really like, I guess this is basic, but it's like cookies and cream. But I also really like Cherry Garcia from Ben & Jerry's. So that's really good. I actually think the Cherry Garcia is my favorite one. Let's say that one.
Cup or cone?
Cone. Even though it's messy, like I love that waffle finish.
It's messy, but you're so neat and orderly. That doesn't go.
Yeah, that's true. I make sure not to make a mess.
French toast, pancakes, or waffles?
French toast. I love cinnamon and sugar.
Peanut butter, creamy or crunchy?
Oh, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of peanut butter. I would say, I guess creamy then, because that's what they have in the Reese's cups. Those are the only things that I'll eat that have peanut butter in them.
Reading or writing?
Reading. I love to read books. I hate writing. Like, I could not write for my life. Thankfully, Muir only had two writing classes, so I barely survived them. So, yeah, reading 100%.
Phone calls or texts?
Text, I would say, because it gives me more time to think about what I'm going to say and helps me process things.
You're doing great with this exercise. You might have to rethink
thank
that.
You.
Dreamer or realist?
Oh, I would say realist. Yeah.
Podcasts or playlists?
Playlists. I love music. I love singing. In the car.
Favorite holiday?
Oh, I really love Christmas because that's when my whole family comes together and it's just fun to see everyone and all their smiles on their faces.
Cats or dogs?
Oh, no, don't ask me that. Because I technically have a cat, so I'm obligated to say I love cats more, but I love dogs too, so I'd say both.
Sure, we'll allow it. Favorite pizza
Okay.
topping?
So funny story, I'm not the biggest fan of pizza because I don't really like cheese, but if I'm super hungry, then I'll eat pizza, and I would say like I like pineapple on my pizza. I believe that it belongs on pizza. So, yeah. You
Says a
can hate
person
me
who
for
does not
that,
eat
but
pizza.
that's
That's
my
correct.
opinion. Sorry?
I said a person who doesn't eat pizza.
Yeah.
Favorite food?
Oh. Huh. I love pasta. It's so easy to cook, and yeah, I love Italian cuisine. So, yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
Exactly.
Which one of your teammates thought that they were the funniest?
Oh, that's a tough one because this past year I've gotten to know Monica way more, and I'd say she always has the best jokes, but I've also known Naomi for the past 3 years, and we have a lot of inside jokes. So I would say both Naomi and Monica, those are, yeah, the funniest teammates on the team.
Which teammate was the best cook?
The best cook? Oh. Who cooks an. Oh, Kelly. Kelly can make some really amazing dishes. She's good.
All right, then, what's on the menu?
Well, she can cook steak really well. She can cook noodles. A lot of like Asian dishes that I don't remember the names of, but you should definitely ask her about it.
I'm gonna have to dig for that invite, I guess. We'll end with this one, Anya. If you could have played one other sport for one day at UC San Diego, what sport would you have played?
Volleyball, 100%. I played with my friends on the beach sometimes, and it's just so fun, especially that team aspect. So, I mean, thankfully, college tennis, I had the team aspect, but I definitely would have played volleyball if I could have. And I mean, I have the serve already, so I'm halfway there, kind of.
You do, and you've got that height too.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, Anya, really appreciate the time. Good chatting with you. Best of luck, and you'll have to let us know what's next.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Anya, for joining us this week. Her genuine desire to help others is so admirable, and she'll need to update that map on her wall. Anya's in Europe right now. We'll be off next week in honor of Independence Day. But we'll be back in your feed on July 10th with an all-new episode of Tritoncast. Join us as we chat with members of women's soccer. That team is wrapping up a foreign tour right now in Costa Rica, and we'll relive their experiences next time on Tritoncast. You won't want to miss it. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of Tritoncast premiere on Wednesdays. Thanks for listening this week, and don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching Tritoncast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 101 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on Tritoncast, follow us on X at Tritoncast, and if you have a suggestion for a future guest, you can send us a tweet or email us. We can be reached at tritoncast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Tritoncast. Tritoncast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at tritoncast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @Tritoncast.